Pickaxe.
Your teen requested a ride, but this time not from you. It's through their Uber teen account. You drive your teenager around a lot to their friend Jacob's house, their other friend Jake's house, to James's, to Jaden's, to Jalen's, to...
Mom, this is Jake's house, not Jacob's.
Now with an Uber teen account, your teen can request a ride under your supervision. They'll ride with a highly rated driver, and with live trip tracking, you'll follow along the whole ride to their friends' houses that all sound the same. Add your teen to your Uber account today. See app for details.
Bye, Mom.
This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
Hello, and welcome back to The Review of Death, a Doctor Who podcast, your fortnightly home for Doctor Who news and reviews. I'm Matthew Toffolo, and this week I'm joined by Jonathan Toffolo, my brother, who is standing in for Billy Garrett John, who can't tell the difference between AM and PM and is currently stuck in New Zealand. And as a special guest, we have Ellie TARDIS Monkey, who is joining us all the way from a convention or the Twitter lands.
Wherever.
And he's going to be joining us on our subject today, which is how did we all become Doctor Who fans? Which is quite a prevalent point at the moment because new Doctor Who has started filming. And we have so much news to talk about that poor old Billy is seething down under. Do you call New Zealand down under? I'm sure his girlfriend's going to punch him in the head.
Probably.
Well, he's down at the bottom of the planet. He'll be annoyed that he's missing out on all this stuff. But luckily, he's got this podcast to listen to and he can live vicariously through us. Where do we want to start? Doctor Who news. What's been happening? We have breaking news this evening. I don't know if any of you saw this.
No, go on.
Go on.
The collection set, season 22. That's coming out on the 20th of June, finally. Okay. So we finally have a release date for that.
I've got something else for Colin to sign now.
He's doing well this year.
He is.
He's in everything.
He's all the big finishes and all that jazz. Yeah.
He had a new trailer today.
Yep.
Did
that was really bloody good. Brilliant, that.
Did he?
This trailer
what,
is fantastic.
This box set?
No. For a new... Well, it's for the new audio, isn't it?
Yeah. Water Worlds?
Something like that. Yeah. But it's quite generic.
Yes.
Good, was it?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Oh, okay.
It's musical. It's got a song.
Oh, good.
All about the Sixth Doctor.
Right.
It's good fun. Yeah. I'll play it for you later.
Wonder where they got that idea
that.
From.
Yeah.
So that's cool. But then moving to the present day. So we've got our new Doctor. We've got Shuti Gatwa as Doctor number 14.
Well, we think number 14.
We think
it's
number
all
14.
A bit confusing now because we've also got David Tennant and Catherine Tate coming back. And they started filming yesterday as recording this. So what's the date today?
It's the 17th today.
So the 16th, they started filming in Camden. David was there. Catherine Tate was there. Jodie Whittaker's police box was there.
That's interesting, wasn't it?
It does. That is interesting. And David Tennant had a new costume. So come on, costume people. You're the costume experts. Tell me about David Tennant's new outfit.
Go on, Ellie.
I mean, it's like an anti sort of Doctor version. Everybody's like kind of going, oh, well, it's like the Valiant because it's like dark blue.
Darker, isn't it?
But he's got like tartan trousers, from one of the photos I've seen.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, well, it's very reminiscent of the Master, kind of with his tartan trousers and stuff like that. But I think it's great. I'd love to see, obviously, because these aren't official, like, I'd love to see some proper. Official photographs of it.
Because
at the moment, like I've seen it in one photo, it's like, oh, the coat's black. And then the other one, you're like, oh no, it's blue. And I feel it's that dress thing. Is it gold or white? Is it blue or black? But I think it looks great. It's interesting because obviously he's never worn that outfit before. So where has this come from?
That's it, isn't it? And you know.
They sorted his hair out, didn't they? That was good.
They sorted his hair out. It's funny how much better just a change of hairstyle makes that look work.
Because they gave him a hairpiece, I suppose. Now he's getting old.
Well, funny enough, somebody was saying David Tennant at this very moment is 4 years younger than William Hartnell was when he started as the Doctor.
That is bonkers, isn't it?
Wow. Which I'm just like, wait, what?
I know. That is insane.
Yeah.
Like, wow. Seeing the footage on set and, you know, he's like, he's got that swagger back. He's just
back in the role.
Back in the role, yeah. 100%. Yeah, totally. And, you know, we can't say too much because there's certain characters on set that haven't been officially revealed. So we don't want to upset people by saying, oh, I didn't want to know that. But just seeing everybody together and seeing those people, although they've all gotten older, they are all so instantly recognisable as those characters again.
Back in their parts again.
Back in those parts.
Yeah, definitely.
It's so exciting. But there must be a reason why the 10th Doctor, the 10th Doctor, I'm going to put that in inverted commas, because, you know, he's got the 13th Doctor's TARDIS.
Mm.
It's
curious.
All a bit wobbly, isn't it?
It is all a bit wobbly.
Timey-wimey-wibbly-wobbly, whatever they said, yeah.
almost. Well done.
The right words, but not in the right order.
Yeah, I just like the notes, isn't it? You know, right, okay.
So, I mean, is Jodie Whittaker going to regenerate into David Tennant?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes?
Well,
is that what
I think so.
Yeah.
I don't know, yeah.
I mean, this is what everybody's saying, is that, like, the Doctor's going to revisit some familiar faces before eventually going to the 14th, well, I assume
but
the 14th Doctor.
But is that, you say revisit by accident, like, you know, if the regeneration's cocking up, is that the problem? And therefore, she regenerates back into Tennant, you know, it's not supposed to happen. Not like, oh, let's see what he was like again, you know, before I decide, you know.
Well, it might do, maybe they're doing like Romana did in...
Maybe like Romana. She did.
Yeah.
Jodie's like, oh, I'll just have a quick change.
Just get used to being a man again.
Yeah,
so it's all very weird.
Mm.
You know,
yeah.
Strange that you announce your new Doctor...
And a week later, literally.
Literally a week later, isn't it? You have...
I get it, because obviously if they're publicly filming, I mean, you've seen the amount of photos
already.
That have leaked everywhere, and I kind of get it. I think if they wanted to, they probably could have kept it hush for a lot longer. But, I mean, it all looks exciting. Mm. It's you know, it's Doctor Who back where it was before, sort of.
So that's interesting. Do we think that... Because Shooty's currently filming... I think he's filming Barbie, isn't he?
Oh, yes, that's right, you said, yeah.
Barbie. I think so. So if he isn't filming at the moment, you kind of feel like, well, maybe they could have kept him quiet because they weren't filming with him. Was this, I don't want to say damage control, but was this sort of like a bit of a safety net to say, here is your new Doctor and here is the Doctor that's coming back? Because had they have just gone, Jodie Whittaker is going to regenerate into David Tennant, fandom might have gone, what the hell are you doing? You know, you can't bring an old Doctor back and blah, blah, blah.
Possibly.
So perhaps it was a little safety catch.
Could be.
But do we think that there's going to be more than one episode next year?
Yeah,
I think it's almost certain, isn't it? Because now that they're filming now... You know, that is not going. That's not going out in November next year.
I was going to say they're filming pretty early for it to come out. So I think they're probably going to have multiple. And
stories.
As you said, like in that statement with Yasmin Finney.
Yeah.
It said, what was it? Like a series of specials
says,
or something like that.
Yeah, it
said
60th anniversary series or something like that. Do we think that Yasmin Finney? Who was announced yesterday and was on set today. Do we think she is playing a companion? Because it wasn't mentioned in the press release as a companion.
Yeah, do you know what? This is what I'm still holding out hope, because it was never officially confirmed. But I'm wondering if there's going to be something wibbly-wobbly that she's going to be involved with a lot of these specials, maybe.
Yeah.
And then maybe become a companion
later
on kind of thing, like to tie it all together.
Yeah.
I mean, that'd be a nice bridge between, you know, the BBC and then it going to Bad Wolf. You've got somebody that's quite consistent throughout that whole time. It's sort of like when Perry sort of stayed with the Doctor afterwards. It's that kind of vibe, really, sort of through regeneration. Yeah. Because have we had a companion in recent Who stay with the Doctor after they've regenerated?
Clara did.
So, so that's probably the last time then.
Yeah.
So, yeah, to have that again would be awesome, really.
Yeah, it would be really good, wouldn't it? Yeah, yeah.
Jazz things up a bit, wouldn't it?
Yeah, she's like the through line through these David Tennant episodes, and then introduces Shooty.
Yeah.
That'd be really good. Yeah, so it was all very interesting. And I know there's been a bit of upset on Twitter. Certain areas of the fandom have been cursing Russell T Davies because he's just been giving out all this information.
What, too much? Too soon, do you mean? Or
well, I think they're a bit upset because Jodie Whittaker's episode...
Hasn't finished yet. I see. So it sort of takes off the...
It takes the shine off of that. But I think I can understand that if this is your first... If Jodie is your first Doctor and this is your first rodeo of having a changeover, totally. I can understand why that would be like that. But I think for us, you know, seasoned Doctor Who fans, we're just used to you know, that bit of publicity beforehand. I mean, Matt Smith, he was filming, wasn't he, before David Tennant had left. We were seeing him in his new TARDIS and all this sort of stuff. And it's just exciting. I think you just got to go along with it, enjoy it, and just get in on the excitement, really. Anything else? Any other news? I think that might be it. That was...
I'll be out in with my camera looking for Sylv in case he's in it as well. Don't worry. If you need the costume, I've got some good bits and pieces, so just let me know.
I already put that on Twitter.
Oh, did you?
Just in the vague hope that someone at the BBC might see it
and say, I've got, you know, it's got two hankies. Okay, fine, here you go. I'll let you have it. How much? For free. Just I don't care, you know.
Wow, really?
not to keep, obviously. You only just to borrow, and then I want it back again. But
wouldn't you want to be like, well, I want to.
Go there on set. Oh, I'll do that. Yeah, that'd be good.
You could be like Hanky Wrangler or something like that.
Yeah, there you are. You wanted to know how we were going to introduce you for this podcast.
Yeah, very good.
Jonathan Toffolo, Hanky Wrangler. Well done. I'll put that up on the bottom. Yes, I mean, do we think, I mean, can we dare but hope that we might see some other Doctors next year?
Oh, yes, they have to.
I think
for the
60th.
Yeah.
I don't know whether or not it would be in official capacity, though, or whether or not they'll do, like, documentaries on the side or something like that.
Oh,
That's another thing I'm thinking of. But
they've got to get them in there somehow, haven't they?
I hope so. Yeah.
Come on, Tom, wheel him in.
Oh, bless him.
Yeah.
Can't they just put a green screen behind him at his home?
They could do, couldn't they? Yeah.
Dimensions in time.
And like have superimpose a console, and he could be there fiddling about.
Yeah,
you know?
There we are. Perfect. Sorted.
Done.
Here's a scarf. Put that around you.
Yeah.
Well, fingers crossed. Fingers crossed. Anyway, I'd like, you know.
It'd be nice, wouldn't it?
It would be nice. Yeah. And I think if it is a series of specials, I think it would be good. I mean, I said this before when Billy and I did our little. What would we like for the 60th anniversary? It would be so nice if it wasn't just a little like mini series with David Tennant. If it was like, oh, at the end of each episode, oh, I've got to change again.
Something's cocking up, and then I regenerate into, you know,
Matt Smith, Peter Capaldi,
William Hartnell.
Can't do Jodie Whittaker; she's got a baby to look after.
Can't do that. Yeah.
This is why I'm still hoping for your idea with Paul McGann and Sheridan Smith just being on a minisode. It would be like,
oh my god!
Yeah. And that's it. You know, I think the thing that sparked off, I mean, Billy was the one who came up with this idea for today's podcast of talking about how we all became Doctor Who fans, because we've got quite high profile castings going on at the moment. We've got Shuti Gatwa, who's got something like 2 million odd followers on Instagram. Same for Yasmin. She's got like 2 million odd on hers as well. So that is potentially a lot of new viewers who, you know, they're on the back of two incredibly popular shows, Sex Education, obviously you and I have watched that, Heartstopper, I've not watched that yet.
Oh, it's brilliant.
Yeah, I mean,
she's Yasmin's absolutely fantastic in it as well, so you can see sort of how she can translate to be a companion through that as well.
Right, okay, so, oh, that's interesting.
But it's funny mentioning sort of Shuti having so many millions of followers, and obviously there was that video of McCoy sort of welcoming
him. Oh, that was lovely. I saw that.
The Doctor Who Club kind of thing.
Yeah.
And all other people have said this as well, all I can imagine is Shuti sort of, he posted a video saying thank you to Sylvester McCoy.
Yeah.
Loads of people who are fans of his going, who the hell's Sylvester McCoy? And all Googling it and stuff like that.
Interesting. I think
that's, it's such a brilliant way of getting in a more general public again. Because as you said, they're so popular on Sex Education and Heartstopper and all that. That, you know, you've got these younger generations that are going to get curious about the show. And then you've also got, you know, I say older fans, but like the older fans who grew up with David Tennant going, oh, yeah, well, they're all together. And then let's get everybody together and watch it as a big event kind of television again, which would be amazing to have that again.
Yeah, because we've not really had that in recent years. I mean, Flux was really well marketed
leading
up to it. But the buzz around this new stuff has just been, it's really strange. And just watching the filming from today and yesterday, it was just weird. It was like being, it was like I was 17 again, watching those Series 4 episodes being filmed. It's like, what is happening here? This is such a weird, bizarre feeling. But it's incredibly exciting. So I think that's probably it for news. Yep. I better do this before Billy
chastises you.
Yeah, comes along and beats me around the head. But we have a happy birthday for Ewan, one of our listeners. So, Ewan, happy birthday. Happy birthday. Have a great day.
Well, then, can I wish happy birthday to people that won't be watching this? Like Sonia, she was 50 yesterday.
Oh, yeah,
can I just wish her happy birthday?
My dad's 60 at the end of the week.
Oh, there we go. My son's 6 on next Tuesday. Can I do that?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Becoming a Doctor Who fan, so off the back of how many millions of followers people have got and how people are going to become Doctor Who fans now in the new series. how did we all get into the world of Doctor Who? Jonathan, you're the oldest. You were there for the original. How did it happen?
The classic series.
The classic series.
Yeah, very good. How did that happen? Well, I don't know. This is the funny thing. I was only 4, as you know, when I watched Time and the Rani when it aired live in 87. I remember that story. I remember watching it, you know, in the front room. I don't know who put the TV on and put Doctor Who on. Obviously, I didn't, but maybe it was just left on from whatever aired previously, and I was captivated by it and scared by the tech traps and thought it was very good. And I remember watching the next episode the following week. And again, I don't remember saying to Mum or Dad, oh, put this programme on for me, but I must have done. I don't know. And it was on, and I watched the whole. I remember seeing all the whole story and the cliffhangers. You know, thinking, oh, you know, scary ones. You know, with the Doctor in the cell when the tetraps are coming after him. I thought that was a bit. You know, but exactly how, I don't know. It's one of the world's great mysteries.
Yeah. I mean, it's the same with me, really, because obviously I am a Doctor Who fan by osmosis, because of you, I haven't got that memory of sitting down
of
and being this is Doctor Who, enjoy this, like your children now have.
Yeah.
Because we've just been showing Johnny's kids.
I saw that on Twitter. Yeah,
so they've watched about 3 now.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you saw the Sea Devils recently.
They watched the Sea Devils first, and then they watched Pyramids of Mars.
Yeah.
Nice.
And then they watched Tomb of the Cybermen, which is their favourite story so far. Great story. So there we go. Just imagine, you know, an 8-year-old and a 6-year-old, and they pick the black and white one. Incredible, great, really.
Yeah.
These days, I mean, they didn't watch black and white TV.
No.
Yeah, that was the one they were captivated with and said, that's my favourite.
Yeah.
I was impressed.
There's something magical, though, isn't there, about those black and white stories?
Oh, yeah, I mean, they're fantastic. Don't get me wrong. I really love them. But I'm just thinking, like, for a little kid, like when I was young, obviously, colour TV, but there were a lot more black and white films that were still being shown, you know, and aired. And so it was more in the, you know,
it was more common.
It was more common.
See it on
but now it's not so much.
Yeah.
And yet these little kids are, you know, were fine with it. Because I thought, oh God, when they see black and white, they might say, what's this? Turn it off, but they didn't.
I mean, I got a few friends who struggle actually to watch the black and white Doctor Who.
Yeah.
And I think it's all because of what you grew up with when you were younger. Because I mean, for me, like I grew up with a lot of the Lauren Hardys and stuff.
Yeah.
So I remember watching them a lot. I mean, like black and white TV was just second nature sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But actually, I think that's why the animations have been great that have come out for sort of the missing stories, because obviously they've done them in colour as well.
Yeah.
Quite a few of my mates have gone, oh, actually, no, I think I can watch this now. It's just, it's funny how, I think it's just getting accustomed to it.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah. It's interesting. And I think, you know, I think we always sort of talk about how, you know, these stories are sort of slower paced, you know, and some people are sort of, you know, they're not used to the pacing of old TV and, you know, the way it's shot and everything. But it's nice to see that, you know, there's, you know, kids can still enjoy these
fantastic
stories.
Yeah,
got good taste as well. So
they've done well. Yeah.
Well, I mean, the eldest.
Remembrance of the Daleks next.
Remembrance of the Daleks is next.
That's the next one.
But the eldest was like, can't we just go back to William Hartnell and just watch it all the way through?
He said to me, Daddy, he said, can't we just go back to the very beginning? He likes watching things in series order.
Right? Oh, yeah.
And he said, can't we just go back to the first one and watch them? I said, I don't know whether that'd be a very good idea at your age at the moment.
Yeah.
You know, I think yeah. that it might be a bit off-putting. And you yeah. might find some of the older ones a bit slow, some of the stories which haven't got so much action. So I think, you know...
Mix it up a bit.
Mix it up a bit. Yeah. For the time being.
For the time being,
So what about you, Ellie? How did you get into Doctor Who?
So, again, I was about four when I got into it. My granddad used to record them off the TV, off of UK Gold.
Oh, yes.
When they used to do the omnibus versions in the Vortex. So I remember The Five Doctors being my first ever story that I watched. Because for some reason the Dalek terrified me because he had red lights.
Right.
I don't know why, but that just scared me. But I just thought it was like... amazing, because I had no idea what was going on. It was just like there was just lots of fast action, all these doctors, companions and stuff. And actually, that's kind of what made me go, oh, okay, I really like the Daleks. I'm only going to watch Dalek stories.
Right.
So after that, my granddad used to record loads of the Dalek stories when they came on, and he'd send them down to me. And then eventually I started like branching out and I'd watch... it's really weird because the ones I remember were always either John Pertwee or Peter Davison. And they seem to be the ones that my granddad sent to me. So whether or not they were his favourites and then it just kind of went to me sort of thing. So I remember watching like... again, random one, Time Flight a lot. I remember liking that a lot as a kid, and everybody's going to be probably shouting at the podcast at this rate. Yeah, Snake Dance. Actually, there was one McCoy, which was Greatest Show in the Galaxy.
Ah, yeah.
But it was funny because I could never remember the names of them when I was a kid. So my granddad, what he used to do, so Greatest Show in the Galaxy would be Doctor Who and the Clowns.
Right. Okay.
So I'd go, oh, it's that one. And I mean, that one absolutely scared me shit.
I say, when she changes the end of part three... That is terrifying. Yeah. I couldn't show my kids that. That would be too horrific.
It's when the main clown's just doing his hand.
Yes.
Like, oh, no.
But that's a big thing, though, isn't it? The phobia of clowns. Yeah, so you remember that? I remember that vividly.
That was shit scary, as a 4-year-old, 5-year-old at that stage. Gosh, I remember. Yeah, that was frightening.
Yeah. So what, any other, like... key scary moments, because obviously that's the thing.
The Daleks going up the stairs in end of episode one, that shocked me as a kid.
In remembrance,
yeah.
It was funny because I always remember watching the Sea Devils, and there's the bit where the Sea Devil grabs Pertwee and he falls on the floor. Yeah. I always thought that was a regeneration episode because my memory got like muddled up, and I was like, because. I mean, John Pertwee's good at coma acting. Yeah, he's, like, really good at it. So I just remember, like, getting scared every time he went into a coma with, like, you know, Planet of the Daleks.
Because
that scared me as well when he opens his eyes and you're like, oh, crap.
He must have been scared of Time Flight when Khalid, is that the master? Mm. When his face...
Oh,
That is frightening.
I mean... trying to think of old scary things that frighten me.
Deadly
Assassin, that is the one that I have a vivid memory of running out of the front room and hiding under the kitchen table.
Wow.
When you first see the master. Face. Yeah.
Yeah, fantastic.
But it wasn't like enough for me to be like, I can't watch this.
No.
You know, I saw it, had that initial fright, and then carried on watching it. you laughing at that
point? I vaguely remember this.
Do you remember this?
I vaguely remember this now, cracking up,
Resurrection of the Daleks, when...
Oh, their faces.
Their faces also melted.
That
freaked me out as a kid. I hated that.
Yeah.
And the one that really terrified me for years, and I couldn't watch the story...
Oh, Inferno. Yeah.
No way.
Primords absolutely petrified me.
Yeah.
I know they're just green men, but it's the noises.
The noises they
the
make.
The sound used to... petrify me.
Snake Master in the TV
movie. That was horrible.
Hated that when I was younger.
That bit when it goes down
his throat. Didn't
like that.
No.
I mean, I hated the whole medical
procedure. The Sylve.
Because 4 years old, seeing that, having never seen like any surgical stuff before.
Madame Butterfly still terrifies me. It's like triggering my memories of it.
Oh god, can't go to the opera then. Any other ones? Like when you were...
When I was little.
Yeah.
What scared me?
Yeah.
I said the first one, the tech traps I thought were a little bit scary. And then, Kane's face melting in Dragonfire.
Yeah.
That was quite frightening as a little one. And then the following season, I mentioned the Dalek. I mentioned end of episode 3 with Galaxy, Great Show of the Galaxy. That was frightening with her changing. And then the final season, because
yeah,
I would have been
from that season.
Well, I would have been six
like the,
then.
That's like the scary season, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hemivores or anything like that?
Hemivores. I don't remember being overly. I tell you, Ghostlight. Okay. That opening scene. In the you know when she puts the paper under the and the mirror then you, and the sounds of the husks and all that and you know not very, that wasn't very nice. I didn't like them very much.
I guess it's very atmospheric. Isn't
it's fantastic. It's so good. I mean, it's
Oh, okay, so you obviously watched it, you know, live. It went out.
Yeah.
How did you then go from oh this is a nice thing that I'm watching on a Saturday tea time or whenever they aired it?
Yes.
Back then, twice a week was it back then? Oh, I can't remember.
Past can't remember.
How did you then go
branch out
into the other stuff?
Well, then
Ollie's already mentioned UK Gold.
Yeah, well, after that, obviously when I got into it, my godmother bought me the VHS of Death to the Daleks.
So that's the
So that was the next story I watched of a different doctor.
Yeah.
And of course, a fantastic story. So I thoroughly enjoyed that one. And that was brilliant.
You're gonna get hate in the comments for that, I'm sure.
I had two versions of that.
Hate. Yeah. Why? Because like in Death of the Daleks?
Yeah, people don't really like it.
What? It's a good story.
I know.
Okay.
I was going to say, because I had two versions of that VHS tape, because there was a deleted scenes version that was even longer.
Oh, that's the one that we had.
We've got that original. Yeah, the original. Yeah,
It doesn't have the cliffhangers in it.
There's no cliffhangers in it, because I always wondered, well, I wonder where it is exactly.
I remember you sitting there, like, trying to
and we used to work it out, where the cliffhangers were.
Yeah.
And that's quite scary as a little kid. I must have been four or five on that one, you know.
The floor tiles.
The floor tiles. The Exelons. They're quite scary, aren't they? It's very atmospheric.
They are, actually.
You know.
I never liked it when they went into the actual temple itself.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then all the weird flashy lights were going on. That's creepy as
well. So that was a great story. So I thought enjoyed that, and then I remember getting Doctor Who and the Daleks Peter Cushing film.
Yes.
And thoroughly enjoying that. Yeah. And of course, I didn't obviously realise that he wasn't actually part of the series at that stage. I was too young. Yeah. I just assumed it was part. And obviously, when I was much older, I realised, this is completely separate.
Yeah.
So I remember watching Death of the Daleks, enjoying that, and then Doctor Who and the Daleks with Peter Cushing.
Well, before we carry on, let's stick with Peter Cushing, because obviously Peter Cushing is getting a bit of a renaissance this year with the 4K releases of the films.
Yeah, looking forward to that.
Which is going to be amazing.
Yeah, same.
See it at the cinema.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
I know.
Take my kids, I shall enjoy that.
What was your first experience of the Peter Cushing films?
So again, it was my dad got me it on VHS. So I had the first one on VHS, but I didn't watch the second one until it was on Channel 4.
Yeah.
Because they used to repeat it all the time during background days and all that stuff. So it was kind of tradition that, the Dalek films are on, we got to watch them kind of thing.
That's exactly the same as us. So. Yeah. The first one on VHS, and the second one is always on TV, and we recorded it off TV. Never owned the actual VHS video.
Brilliant.
That is very funny,
Yeah, and Billy was the same. We've actually got Billy's own testimony here on camera. We'll have to play it in a minute. But he had the same experience, spoiler alert, I'm sure he'll tell us in a minute. Mm. But he had the same experience as us, didn't he? But he had Death of the Daleks was like one of his first stories, and then Revenge of the Cybermen was...
Oh, of course, that would have been another very early one that we had as well. Revenge of the Cybermen, fantastic story. We enjoyed that one as well.
Yeah.
Now, can you remember, seeing as we're going, we're also talking about the realms of David Tennant and Russell T Davies' Doctor Who, can you remember when Doctor Who came back?
Yeah.
Can you remember when people were getting into Doctor Who, and people were like, oh, don't watch the Peter Cushing films. They don't count. He's not canon. Can you remember this?
No, I don't remember this.
I remember this.
Do
and
you?
It used to
I don't.
Irritate me.
Oh.
Yeah, people used to be like, oh, you don't watch that. That's not canon.
Oh, no, to be fair, when I was younger, everybody's like, what's a TARDIS? Like,
yeah.
I mean, that's it, isn't it? You know, did you have that? I mean, I had that experience of, you know, no one knew what Doctor Who was
at school.
Yeah.
Until it came back. And then
everybody knew it was like my show. They said, it's that show that Ellie watches.
Right.
And I remember I was at a sleepover and we all stayed up late and all the girls upstairs fell asleep. And it was like 6 a.m. So I snuck downstairs to watch it on my mate's telly because they had the omnibus on.
Oh, right, yeah.
But I also pulled a little prank because they all had their makeup out, so I drew on their faces, like glasses and mustaches and stuff. So I'm there, like, watching Doctor Who quite merrily because my mate had Sky. I didn't have Sky at the time. And then all I remember was just hearing this almighty
scream,
LA! Yeah. As they bounded downstairs and came in with glasses and a little mustache.
Really?
Oh. Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, again, like, I, you know, my mates.
What did you watch?
Do you know what? I can't remember, which is really annoying.
Shame. Okay.
Yeah, but you know, it was one of those scenes because they were just like, oh, I knew you'd stay up watching bloody Doctor Who at 6 a.m.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I remember the same thing. Obviously, this is in the wilderness years now when the omnibus editions on UK Gold. And, you know, on the weekend, Sunday, I think they were on, weren't they? Were they Sunday? Sunday morning?
I think it
might be Sunday.
It was on the weekend.
On the weekend. And I remember setting, you know, obviously before phones, setting an actual alarm,
know,
to make sure I was up at 5 to 6 or 10 to, everybody else was fast asleep. I'd come down the stairs, and then put the VHS in, switch on UK Gold, try to, you know, get it all ready to record and we did that for years. I did those videos we had.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. My so good. My next door neighbour, when I was younger, was also my babysitter.
Right.
So she knew how much I loved Doctor Who. Mind you, she was really good with the classics. She got us to watch like Bagpuss and Button Moon and all that kind of stuff when we were younger. But they had a VHS player and also Sky to record stuff. Mm. So I knew John Pertwee, Planet of the Spiders, was on.
Right.
So I said to them, could they record it for me? I said, because I've never watched it, really wanted to see John Pertwee's regeneration.
Mm.
And they said, yeah, that's fine. So they set the recording. But obviously, it overran slightly, so I missed the last 20 minutes of Planet Spiders and never saw it until much later when I got it on official VHS.
What a shame. That did used to happen. I used to cuss. I'd come down the stairs, because we used to get in the Radio Times, whatever, you know, to have the listings, obviously, before, again, looking online and things like that. So, okay, come downstairs, put on the television. Bloody hell, they've already started. Half an hour. Cuss my blood. Missed the beginning of the bastard thing, you know.
Yeah, so then, bloody adverts.
Did they ever have UK Gold Plus One later on? I can't remember because a lot of channels had like a Plus One channel.
Unless it was a lot later. I don't remember that.
It may well have happened at a later stage.
Maybe not then, maybe not. But yeah, I can remember that. I can remember UK.
So annoying.
So annoying.
Yeah.
Or sometimes you'd come down. And
different story.
Yes,
yeah, they cocked up that way. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, this is the thing, you know, kids today, they just don't...
All this streaming.
It's just so funny. I mean, like, I've been telling you, like, my girlfriend, you know, she's watched all of Doctor Who, but she watched it in, like, a couple of years all through BritBox. She just watched all of the classic series from Unearthly Child all the way through. I think she skipped a couple just to... have a little sneak peek at Davison. But, yeah, you know, and when I sort of say to her, oh, you know, you'd watch a story here, a story there.
Yes. Yeah,
you know, she's like, oh, that's like, must have been quite exciting. It's almost like a bit of a jigsaw puzzle that you sort of tie it all together. Mm. And I think you do, don't you? Because with some of those, like, Hartnell stories where they really do follow on.
Yes,
yeah.
They do.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
You know,
and some of Pat Troughton's as well.
And some of Pat Troughton's. You know, you get something like, well, I'm trying to think, maybe the Romans. I think that starts off with the ending of the previous story and it ties in. And so it's nice to then, when you then watch that other bit, you go,
the rest
here we go, this all ties in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just a weird...
Yeah, because I don't know about you, but did you watch Who Out of Order first time?
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, I did watch all Festival Coys through in order, and then obviously I was potted around then after that.
So did you watch Death of the Daleks while Sylvester was on?
Oh, well, I can't remember that.
Exactly.
I can't remember that. I don't know whether it was during his tenure or whether I watched it after or... Mm. Yeah, I can't remember. But it would have been around that time.
Yeah.
So for you, how did you first discover... Oh, hang on a minute. There were Sylvester McCoy, he isn't
the only
Doctor Who...
Good question. Yeah, I honestly don't... I can't remember. I don't know. I mean, maybe because... I say my godmother bought me Death to the Daleks, I thought, oh, there's other people that have been Doctor Who. I didn't know about regeneration, obviously, because the whole thing was completely new to me. Obviously,
and it doesn't come up in McCoy's era.
No, that's right. He isn't obviously.
Oh, only from Colin.
Only from Colin.
Yeah.
Maybe I didn't really. I thought it was just the wig on. I don't know at this stage. but I didn't really get that bit. I was just tiny, wasn't I? But it must have been through her. Or maybe Dad said, well, there are other Doctor Whos. Maybe he'd said, or Mum, look, you haven't seen them, but, you know, there were other Doctors in the past, you know. And then they got me Peter Cushing film and obviously Death of the Daleks with John. So, and it moved on from there. Revenge of the Cybermen came quite soon after that. Mm. Because they were the earliest ones, weren't they? I think Revenge of the Cybermen might have been the first one, I think.
Another good story. Are you a Revenge of the Cybermen fan?
Hell yeah.
It's a great story,
What is with people that don't like Revenge of the Cybermen?
It's filmed in Wookiee Hole. I'm going to be biased towards it.
Yeah, of course,
It's a great story.
It is a great story. What about things like books and those kind of things?
Books.
You know.
Ah, reading.
Reading, yeah. I know you don't do much reading. But I have like strong memories of, you know, going to our grandma's house and seeing our uncle's
His collection
of Doctor Who annuals.
Yes, I remember that.
Like going through those.
Yeah, that was good. I remember that.
You know, and you had that Key to Time book, that Peter Haney.
I had that
book.
One, yeah.
So that was always nice, like to see all these pictures. Mm.
Stories that we didn't know.
I know, that was
fantastic, because the artwork in there is lovely, isn't that book?
It is really
And the photographs are fantastic.
Like seeing stuff like from the black and white era in colour, that was always exciting. I mean, that's still exciting now. But.
Yeah. The book I read religiously was the Doctor Who, The Legend Continues. And just like going back through and going, oh, I haven't watched that episode, I need to find that one kind of thing.
Yeah. That was like another great book.
That was a good book,
As you are the cosplayer in the room, how did you get into cosplay? How did that come about?
It wasn't until a lot later, actually, when I was sort of in my teens, really, when it happened, because my dad came home with a flyer, and it was for the Airfleet Arms Museum in Yeovilton, and they had a Dalek weekend.
Okay.
Colin Baker and Sylvester McCoy were going to be there, and I was like, oh my God, what the hell? My dad was like, yeah, you should really, you know, go for this sort of stuff. Mm. And I went, yeah, okay. So both me and him went down and wasn't in cosplay or anything. Didn't even know it was a thing.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until I rocked up that I saw all these people in like magnificent outfits, David Tennant's and, you know, Daleks and all this kind of stuff. Mm. So my mind was completely blown. And I was just like, that's what I want to do.
Oh,
and
I mean, that's nice. I like that.
You know, ever since I was a kid, I've loved dressing up because I had like Thunderbirds outfits, Captain Scarlet outfits, Superman, like all of it, Spider-Man. I dressed up all the time.
I started with Mary Poppins.
That's not a joke.
That is not a joke.
I feel like you need to explain this now.
He loved that film.
I loved that
it's
film.
It's a classic.
It's a wonderful musical. Yeah. And I watched it over and over again, and to the annoyance of my family. You know, and yes, I used to, you know, put on, I don't know, clothes.
You used to jump off the settee with
the umbrella. Yeah, yeah. And the bag.
Yeah, yeah. The bag.
Great days.
Yeah.
Great days.
So that was it for you. So you went from that, and you were just like, right, I'm going to...
Yeah, because, I mean, ever since I was a kid, I was like, I mean, the Fifth Doctor has always been, like, my doctor when I was growing up.
Oh, right, okay.
He was the one I just gelled with the most, and I just remember...
Interesting that, isn't it? Because same as Annie.
Yeah. The same as Annie, yeah.
I've always kind of thought it's because he's like young in face but old in heart.
Yeah.
And I've always related to that myself.
Yeah.
And I love the Victorian kind of cricket gear and everything. So I remember I wanted to do that. But the easiest one and the cheapest one I could get at the time was David Tennant's suit. Yeah. So I remember going onto eBay, literally buying a pinstripe suit, putting it on and went, yeah, I've done it kind of thing.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
You know, as I've grown up and obviously got my own income now, I've kind of branched out and, you know, progressed with the props and the costumes I get. Mm. So, I mean, the Fifth Doctor one was the one that took the most time and money and stuff because I sourced it from various different places. Like, the jumper was from America, the coat was online. my aunt's next door neighbour, who's a seamstress, made the trousers for me, kind of stuff. Yeah. You know, I found the patterns online. I did so much research into the outfits and that.
Gosh, you sound like me.
And I feel like, you know, sort of ever since then, and, you know, I've branched out into sort of all the other doctors now. I've got loads of, like, Pertwee outfits and stuff.
Yeah, I've seen some of those.
Pertwee is just a fashion icon anyway.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, I mean, that's how it sort of really began. It just kind of, it was simultaneous with me starting conventions, basically.
Interesting.
And I feel like maybe if I was slightly younger, I probably would have got it into it a bit younger. Yeah, but, you know, I'm happy when I did because, you know, I got to meet Sylvester McCoy and Colin Baker as my first doctors and stuff. And the rest is history and, you know.
And now you're friends with Colin Baker.
And now I'm friends with Colin because I love him so much. Yeah, he's lovely.
So that was your first convention. Did you do the like long leets or stuff like that?
No, because I mean, at the time I'd actually moved to Norwich, I wasn't even in Bristol at that time, purely because my dad was studying art at London.
Oh, right. Okay.
So he was doing that, but there is a photo, and I'm pretty sure I must have been there because my sister's got a photo outside the TARDIS at Longleat. But I would have only been like. When it happened, so I wouldn't have even been aware of what was going on because my sister was also a massive Who fan she was younger as well. Yeah. So, you know, my granddad got the pair of us into it.
Yeah.
My sister doesn't watch it anymore, not as much she used to, but it just kind of stuck with me. But yeah, I know I've definitely got a photo of her outside the Longleat TARDIS, but it's one of those things that, yeah, I wish, like, yeah, if I was in Bristol, they probably would have taken me to it.
Because I think that was a... What were you going to say?
I was going to say, do you want to know how I got into cosplaying?
What? Being a Sylvester McCoy loony?
Yeah.
Go on, then.
Very different. Do you know the story?
No, I don't, actually.
Ah, so...
This is weird.
Yeah. So, this... I got into it through my primary school.
Oh, no, I do know this. Yes.
So, St. Patrick's, my primary school. Spoilers. they were doing a fancy dress... fate thing one summer, and it was, you know, dress up as whatever, and so Sylvester McCoy was obviously on television. It must have been 89 or 90, maybe it just finished, so I was about 6 or 7, and my Italian grandmother got me a little outfit, the jumper. She knitted the jumper for me, and we got some trousers and a brown jacket, which my uncle Bert gave me a brown jacket and put the chain. We got all this stuff and a scarf. I don't know about a brolly, whether I had a brolly or not. Obviously, it wouldn't have been a good one, but or something. And anyway, so I went to the fete with Mum, and I think maybe Dad might have been there. I can't remember, but maybe it's with you.
Dad thought stayed at home.
Not giving that loony over there. He thought so.
He's not my son.
So it was all billed as, you know, dress up as someone for this, you know, fancy dress thing. And there were about 3 of us that did it. And I remember we were on the field, and we had to walk around in a circle. They made this parade in a circle. And it was me as Sylvester McCoy, some other kid dressed as like a dog outfit. Like Nana from Peter Pan, something like that, I don't know. Is it Nana the dog?
I don't know.
And then someone else, I can't remember. And literally it's 3 of us, and they said, go walk in a circle so we can all watch you doing that. It's a bit like, you know, reminds me of Father Ted. The lovely girl. It's a bit like that.
It's either like that or like some weird child RuPaul's Drag Race where you get you to strut the catwalk.
And anyway, so we were going around and doing this, and I was there, you know, posing with the pocket watch, doing this sort of stuff, and all that, you know, being a loony. And anyway, I won.
Yay!
I won the competition, and my prize: 2 goldfish in a bag.
Wow.
Can't do that these days.
Yeah, right? You can't do that these days.
Yeah. So there
I
we
hope
go.
They survived.
They survived going back to the house. Yeah, they were fine. Yeah, yeah. And they survived for a while. Yeah, yeah.
What are their names?
Oh, God knows. I didn't make them up, did I? No idea. Can't remember. But that was how I started.
Brilliant.
Yeah?
Brilliant.
And I guess, like, when we were growing up, like, we would always play, you know, Doctor Who.
Oh, we did. Yeah, of course we did.
The same sort of thing. We always dressed up.
Yeah,
did that kind of thing.
We had great fun.
Yeah. And, you know, obviously we had our Uncle Bert building us TARDISes and Daleks and stuff.
Fantastic,
My dad built a Dalek when I was younger.
Really?
Yeah. And it was made out of paper mache.
Right.
So it was for an art piece that he was doing. But it was so funny because it was just made up of newspaper and whatever. After a while, the paint started crumbling. and the front came off, but all it said was haunted lemons. So it became the haunted lemon Dalek.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Okay.
Excellent. So your parents, you know, obviously, I guess your dad was a bit of a fan.
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
You know, what do your parents think of your Doctor Who, I don't want to say obsession, but I mean, it is an obsession.
Call a spade a spade. I mean, you know, I think it's weird because, like, it's always been there.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's never been like a phase that I've liked Doctor Who. Yeah. It's just been a consistent thing. Mm. And they've been really supportive of it. Mm. I mean, you know, like my dad taking me to my first ever convention and stuff. And, you know, they got me the VHSs for my birthday. And I even remember for Christmas, my parents still, you know, when the series came back, getting me the TARDIS, the big TARDIS DVD box set that came out and stuff.
Yeah.
It's just been constant because, I mean, it's really a close thing with my granddad because my granddad sadly passed away because of bowel cancer. So it was one of those that I kept the VHS tapes that he recorded and everything. Oh, yeah. And it's just kind of...
In memory, in a sense.
And I mean, you know, all the VHSs I've still got. Like, I just don't have the heart to get rid of them because it's that kind of... It's weird. It's like a family connection. Mm. You know, I've grown up with Doctor Who and I've grown up with my family at the same time. Yeah. And it's this symbiotic relationship kind of thing. Yeah. So, you know, even now, like, my parents are like, oh, yeah, you're just going off to convention. Oh, yeah, you're meeting Colin again, you know, kind of thing. And, I count my blessings that because I've been able to go to these events, I've become friends with Colin and Katie and all that, which I never in my life dreamed would happen thing. It's, and, you know, getting to meet such amazing people who I can wholeheartedly call my closest friends is just so wonderful. And, you know, getting the opportunity to do stuff like this on a random, you know, Tuesday afternoon kind of thing is fantastic. And, you know, I don't look back on it with any doubt or anything. I just always look forward.
Embrace it.
This is why I'm looking forward to... You know, all this, you know, seeing everybody getting really excited for Who and bringing in new fandoms because it brings in new friends and stuff. So, not to get too soppy.
That's really nice, you know, and I think we were the same, weren't we? You know, our parents never really bad and eyed about it, did they? Really?
No. I mean, they weren't into it, were they, Doctor? This is the interesting thing. I mean, we never had that sort of influence from our parents.
No, but I mean.
I mean, they watched it, obviously,
they
with
watched
us.
It, you know.
I mean,
Dad.
Tolerated it.
I don't know. I mean, he enjoyed a few of them. When you mentioned earlier about, you know, how you called Great Show in the Galaxy, you know, Doctor Who with the Clowns.
Yes. Dad did the same thing.
Dad used to do the same thing. So Happiness Patrol was always...
Pink Ladies. That was it. The Pink Ladies.
You know,
yeah.
And we all, you know, often refer to it as the Pink Ladies.
We do, yeah.
Because it's just ingrained in our
psyche.
But yeah, I mean, I think that's nice that we, you know, we've all had that experience where, you know, our parents have just been like, well, you know, that's what you like. Just go for it. I don't think there was ever any point with our mum and dad where they sort of said, oh, this is a phase they're going to grow out of or anything like that. I mean, I don't know if you had that at all.
Well, I mean, I think we both had a phase where Doctor Who didn't play so much a part of our lives when we went to Star Wars a lot more, weren't we? I mean, obviously, it was still in our lives, but we were quite heavy into Star Wars for quite a long time.
Yeah.
And then we got back into Doctor Who, didn't we, and sort of stayed there. Obviously, we still like Star Wars as well, of course.
Well, I think it was really when it was announced that it was coming back.
Yeah.
I think it gave us more of an impetus to go, you know, we really should go back and rewatch them and all that kind of thing. I think I probably dropped off of it more than you did. I think it was more, you were still more into Doctor Who than I was, because I remember... You know, shock horror that I had a real moment where I was like, Doctor Who.
Yes,
you know,
I remember
You know, it's this dead program.
Yeah.
You know, it's good, but, you know, it's never coming back. So, you know, but Star Wars, on the other hand, you know, that's going to be around for ages. You know, little did I know that 2005 Star Wars was going to come to an end. Doctor Who would then come back.
Yeah.
You know, Doctor Who would be around, you know, for ages before Star Wars even came back in any sort of form.
Yeah.
I mean, let's obviously count the cartoons.
Yeah,
and
you've
stuff.
Got the yeah.
Yeah, because I mean, you know, growing up during the wilderness years, you had absolutely no idea if it was coming back, not in the slightest. So you had what you had. So that was it. And I mean, you know, I remember sort of like my parents shouting at me if like Fraser Hines was hosting the lottery or something like that. Bound down the stairs because any crumb of Doctor Who, you were like, yes, I need to watch this kind of thing. So yeah, it's funny, because I'm trying to think, I think I probably had a bit of a Star Wars phase as well.
Did you?
Maybe it was just our generation. Oh yeah, love
Star Wars. Oh, you're a big fan. Huge fan.
Great lightsabers and all sorts.
I did go to Galaxy's Edge.
Yes. Oh, have you?
Yeah.
I'd love to take my kids there.
Yeah. Don't bugger that. We just want to go.
Well, yeah. But nice to take the kids as well. They'd love it.
Yeah. Oh, it's funny,
it looks incredible.
Oh, it's brilliant. I mean, the Millennium Falcon is stunning.
I know.
But it's funny how, you know...
Next year. I'm 40 next year. It'll be my 40th birthday present.
What, we all go to Galaxy's Edge?
Yeah, should we do that?
Yeah, go on then.
Go on then.
You pay?
No.
It would be good, though.
So, you know, it's funny how I think we've all kind of went, oh, well, we're not sure about this show. We've watched a lot of it. Let's just go off to something else a little bit. And then you're like, oh, crap, it's coming back around.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
And I think it's funny how, you know, with some people, I guess like with your sister, you know, grew up with it, but then it went away.
She had other interests and that was it, just disappeared for a bit. Like, she remembers, like, watching the episodes, but, and even now, like, she'll occasionally catch, like, a Jodie episode every now and then, but she's not, like, avid or anything like that. But.
And I guess that's a bit like with Paolo, you know, our older brother, he remembers Tom Baker being Doctor Who and watching those episodes. Mm. And, you know, occasionally now he'll say, I watched this one.
Yes, you know,
He watched Legend of the Sea Devils, didn't he?
And he enjoyed it. Shockingly, yeah.
You know, so there we go. Yeah. No accounting for taste.
No, not at all.
Yeah. Your teen requested a ride, but this time not from you. It's through their Uber teen account. You drive your teenager around a lot to their friend Jacob's house, their other friend Jake's house, to James's, to Jaden's, to Jalen's, to...
Mom, this is Jake's house, not Jacob's.
Now with an Uber teen account, your teen can request a ride under your supervision. They'll ride with a highly rated driver, and with live trip tracking, you'll follow along the whole ride to their friends' houses that all sound the same. Add your teen to your Uber account today. See app for details.
Bye, Mom.
I'm just trying to think if there's any other avenues. Like, what was it like for everybody when Doctor Who was announced as coming back? Yeah, how did you discover Doctor Who was coming back?
My cousin told me.
Oh, okay.
So he found out first and said, oh my God, you know, you'll be really excited about this. And I just remember all the news bulletins popping up and stuff. Doctor Who's back, and I couldn't believe it to begin with. I thought it was some joke.
Well, we did as well.
Because you're just thinking, nah, it's been away off of telly for so long. And as a kid as well, like, time moves very slowly when you're a kid as well. So, I was astounded. And I think it really properly hit me, when I saw the billboards.
Yeah.
When you had, like, Eccleston and Billy Piper.
And Rose outside the TARDIS,
Which was fantastic. And I mean, the real excitement hit, I mean, when I saw those trailers of Eccleston running down the corridor and the fireballs coming after him and stuff.
Oh yes, I remember those.
And that was it.
And I just remember my cousin getting me a naughty copy of it as well.
Oh really? We tried to get it, but our internet was crap, so we couldn't download it.
Because he was like a tech wizard, so he was able to get it. So I remember watching it on my aunt's telly and stuff like that. Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, so you had
an advanced screening. Yeah.
When did that come out in relation to the actual televised?
I can't remember.
Do you know what? I can't remember. It wasn't that far in advance, I don't think it was.
But I remember, it caused a big fuss, didn't it, when it leaked? Because it was Torchwood, wasn't it? It was marked as Torchwood. Or they did that afterwards. And then that's, of course, became its own thing. I remember...
Dad told us,
I think, didn't he?
Did. In the paper.
Yeah.
And we didn't believe him.
Yeah, because we had it for years. Like, it would be this constant.
All these rumours. It's coming back.
This is the film. Yeah. Eddie Izzard's going to be Doctor Who.
Yeah, Eddie Izzard.
Davis is going to be Doctor Who and all this sort of stuff.
Who?
Alan Davis.
Oh, Alan Davis. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, so when it was actually, you know, properly, no, this is it. And it's going to be, you know, as kids, you know, yes. I didn't know Russell D. Davies no. was, and I didn't know no, who Mr. Eccleston was.
No.
I think you might have seen Eccleston in something. Did you see him in Second Coming and stuff like that?
Possibly. I don't remember.
Because obviously you're that much older than me.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I remember Billy Piper because I was like, what, the singer? Yes, of course.
I think that was it, isn't it? You know, when you hear it's coming back, you then begin to worry, like, oh, is it going to be as good as it used to be? Are they going to mess around with it? I think, like, when you hear stuff like, oh, Billy Piper's been cast as a companion, you think, oh, well, she's a singer, she's not an actress. She's not, they're not taking this seriously.
Yes.
You know, little did we know that she was going to be absolutely fantastic.
Yes.
She's a brilliant actress.
Yeah, she was very good.
And, you know, just all those little things like, oh, what's the is the title music going to be... Right.
Yeah.
Is it gonna?
Are they gonna cock it up? Or
change it? Yeah. Is it not gonna be the same tune? Is the TARDIS gonna be something else? Is it not gonna be a police box?
Yeah, that was a worry, wasn't it?
What about the TV movie? Can you remember sort of seeing that for the first time?
Yeah, I remember watching that live, and I remember. Actually, to be fair, I just remember it being terrifying. And because my parents were like, oh, yeah, you like Doctor Who, let's plonk you and watch this. And then I was like, but again, like, it was that moment you go, oh, yeah, you know, Doctor Who, it's exciting, it's new, it's, I mean, when was it out? 96. So, yeah, I would have been 4 at the time. Yeah. So I was only just discovering Who, really, myself. So I remember watching that amongst all the other kind of omnibuses that I had going on. So I got like a really weird amalgamation. But I also remember the Doctor Who night they did on BBC Two.
Oh,
as
you're the same age then, you two?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realise that. Okay, fine.
I think you're slightly older than me.
Oh, maybe. I don't know.
I'm 29.
Yeah.
But you will be 30 at some point this year.
End of this year,
Oh, okay.
So, I remember watching that because I loved the Dalek number twos.
On BBC Two. That was good. Yeah,
they were good. Those idents.
They were good. Yeah.
Or just the BBC Two idents were good.
Yeah, they were lovely.
Yeah, they were. They were great.
Yeah. Can you remember that watching Doctor Who night?
I do remember watching Doctor Who night.
We sat in the dining room.
We were in the dining room. It was good. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
And I can't actually remember it. Well, at least I don't have the memory of being aware that it was going to be on. I feel like it was just happened to be on.
Yeah, I just remember my parents going, "You're watching this," and I was just like, "Okay." I'm trying to remember what there was another thing as well.
There were the repeats on BBC Two.
Yeah.
Back in the 90s.
Yeah.
And I remember watching those at my Italian nonna's house. Friday evening. So I used to go to school, then go to my nan's for dinner and sleep over. And BBC Two, whatever time it was on. And it went through Planet of the Daleks, Hartnell, 1066.
Time Edler,
great story. Really enjoyed that one. And Mind Robber, loved that one, and Planet of the Daleks, you say. Genesis of the Daleks for Tom.
Yeah.
Peter was... I can't remember. Remember what, what
did
it was?
Did they do one for Peter?
I'm not sure. Maybe they didn't. Maybe they stopped at Tom. Perhaps they did.
Because then they did more repeats.
And then there was that other good programme, Resistance is Useless.
They showed that was
good. Yeah, that was a good one. I enjoyed that.
Yeah.
It's funny because I think Billy actually tweeted this not that long ago, but I remember there was an advert for the BBC licence fee and it was of a kid going through old TV programmes the Daleks come back and he comes out the TARDIS. And I remember just being excited for that.
It was just going
back to the crumbs of Doctor Who back in the wilderness.
You'd see a Dalek appear on
something, anything.
A Dalek, they'd get some guy in a Cyberman suit for
whatever reason.
And it would just be like, but it's so weird, you know. Mm. Now it's such a, I mean, obviously it was part of the public consciousness back then, but it was sort of
under the surface, wasn't it?
Yeah. So deep rooted. But now, you know, I think you're hard pushed to find someone who doesn't know what a TARDIS is or a Dalek is. You know, watched it, they'll see it and go, oh, that's that thing.
Yeah, well, they're iconic, aren't they? This is the thing, you know.
That's it, yeah.
Should we listen to what Billy Garrett John wants to say about this? I did think that as well. You know, if you can't be bothered to get AM and PM right, then you can't be here, basically.
How?
Yeah.
Hello, ladies and gents who join me from the summit of Rangitoto Island here in New Zealand. Our stay has been extended because we can't tell the difference between AM and PM on a 12-hour clock. So I'm here to tell you a little bit about how I became a Doctor Who fan. And it's all down to my dad, really. My dad was a fan watching the show back in the day. His doctors, mainly John Pertwee and Tom Baker, but he remembers a little bit about Patrick Troughton as the Doctor and sort of fell off as Peter Davison came up. He was more into sex, drugs and rock and roll at that point, I think. And he would watch Sylvester McCoy dubbed in Arabic in Dubai as well, I think, on the TV in his hotel room when he was he had a residency in a hotel playing out there. So he still managed to watch Doctor Who as he grew up. But then when I came on the scene, he wanted to watch a whole night of programming, 1999, called Doctor Who Night. It was on BBC Two, I think it was. And you can watch the whole thing. Sam Dimmy Looming has uploaded it onto Dailymotion, I think. I'm not sure if I should be telling you that, but it is available for you to watch. And he wanted to watch it, but he was out gigging. So Mum taped it for him. He came back the next morning and watched it, and I watched it with him. And that was it. The rest is history. And then thankfully I had grandparents who bought into it as well. So they would tape old episodes off UK Gold for me, like the Sea Devils, mainly sort of 70s episodes of the Sea Devils, Robot, Sontaran Experiment, I remember as well. A lot of kind of Earthbound Third Doctor stuff. Dapol figures as well. I went to the exhibitions in Llangehelyn, Doctor Who Experience. That was actually what it was called. It was the OG Doctor Who Experience in the Dapol factory. And Longleat as well, the exhibition there, which was fantastic. Matt and Johnny can tell you a lot more about that because they went to a proper event at Longleat, which is on camera, which they taped, which is fantastic to look back on because they're so cute. And yeah, that was it, really. Doctor Who came back in 2005 and suddenly everybody knew about it and it was really exciting. But from 1999 to sort of midway through 2004, whenever they announced the show was coming back, it was just sort of my little thing. You know, there wasn't a huge fan community. I think I was on Outpost Gallifrey? Yeah. By the time the show came back. So I was already kind of scrolling through spoilers and stuff when I was 8 or 9 years old. And yeah, it was a fantastically exciting time. But for the longest period as a Doctor Who fan, and it felt like a long period at that point, I didn't know anything about the show. There was no conventions necessarily to go to. People didn't really like Doctor Who. It was seen as old-fashioned and passé. And I went to an event that Matt went to at the same time as well, not that we knew each other then. In fact, across the road, my neighbours knew about Matt and they would tease me. They went to school with a guy who had a TARDIS in his garden and knew more about Doctor Who than me and had a bigger collection. And I said, no, no chance. Turns out that was Matt, although we didn't know that for many years. So yeah, I'll hand you back to the studio. You can find out a bit more about the gang's stories and how they became Doctor Who fans. And we'll also hear from you guys as well, which I'm really looking forward to hearing about. So see you later.
Now, was he really there or was that a green screen?
Yeah,
just in front of it.
Superimposed, yeah.
Either that or I just wanted someone like walking their dog to just like walk into shot and be like, what's this guy doing chatting over there? But that's interesting, you know, very similar
experience.
It's weird because like him saying about his dad watching John Pertwee and Tom Baker and going off when Peter Davison was in the role, I was like, that's my dad. My dad did exactly the same thing.
Yeah,
it's really weird how everybody kind of has that similarity, and it's probably why we're so connected.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we've all got this like sort of connection with it.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? I guess you're either, like I said earlier, you're either in it for the long run.
Or you're just gonna,
you know, you'll enjoy it when you're a kid
and
it'll go away. But then, you know, you often
you
find
might revisit
that they come back to it later on, which is quite
I'm interested in this Longleat footage.
Oh, yeah.
I've not seen this.
Oh, like, it's on YouTube.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
I need to see this now.
Yeah, so that was back in 1994.
Wow.
So I was 2.
Wow.
So, I mean, I can't really remember it so much properly, but I, you know, I've got the video footage remind me. Can you remember it better? I mean, it was a very sunny day.
It was a very sunny day. It was a very busy day. It was a lovely day. And obviously, John was there, Peter was there,
Syl was there. Jonathan Turner's there in the footage. I think Gary Downey might
Gary was there, there I think.
Yeah. It's weird to sort of think, like, you know, we were at an event with those people, but you know, never didn't know who they were or the importance of these characters. It's so funny.
I think there were lots of other people there, and there were lots of like Daleks and Simon, all hosts of people dressed up and monsters. Yeah. Was this for an anniversary?
Well,
what was it, 94, was
94,
it?
94, so the 30th had just happened. Gone,
yeah.
Right, yes.
But I guess, you know, probably off the back
of that. Off the back
of that,
was it?
I guess Doctor Who had a slight renaissance then because you had that with Dimensions in Time.
Yeah, and... Dimensions in Time.
If you could call that renaissance.
I was going to say renaissance.
Can you...
I remember watching that.
Was that exciting?
It was very exciting. It was Children in Need, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And I was at Nanny's because it was a Friday evening.
Yeah.
And we bought the glasses. I'm very excited with the glasses, you know. Proper paper ones. Not like the ones these days, you know, the high-tech things. you know, paper ones came in the magazine or something. I don't know how you got it. And it was an Ed in two parts.
Yeah.
And the Albert Square thing was a bit odd. I thought, you know, why? But I didn't... I mean, obviously, I was in a... What year was that?
93.
Yeah. 93. I was 10. Oh, you know, I enjoyed it for what it was.
Yeah.
You're like peak audience for
that.
Yeah.
Right? You know, I thought it was okay. You know, Silver's costume wasn't too bad.
Wrong scarf, though.
Wrong scarf, yeah, that wasn't so good. True. Yeah. Hat was a bit battered as well, but, you know, it's like season 24, I suppose.
I can't remember watching Dimensions in Time. I remember the glasses.
Yeah.
Vaguely remember seeing the glasses.
Yeah, yeah. Yellow. They were yellowish.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Might have been like speckled or something, I think.
Yeah, they
possibly.
Had some pattern on there, some design. Can you remember your first encounter with Dimensions in Time?
Do you know what? I think it was probably when I stumbled on it on YouTube or something
really?
Like that.
Oh, really?
But a lot later I remember watching it, yeah.
Because we had it taped.
We had it taped.
Oh, really?
Yeah, taped it as well, yeah, yeah.
Back in the good old days of taping everything.
Absolutely. It's we did. Anything like that, wasn't it? Adverts and things. We taped loads of things.
Well, I remember watching The Curse of Fatal Death.
Yeah.
When that came out, and I probably shouldn't have done because it's quite grown up.
Yes.
Yeah. Obviously, seeing themes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But again, it was like, it's something Doctor Who related. Yes. I'm going to watch it.
I'll watch it,
I think I remember turning around to my parents at the time when they had the etheric beam locators and them kind of doing that. Maybe we shouldn't have let our daughter watch it.
I was quite lucky because, you know, growing up with you, you know, being that much older, I was watching stuff that, you know, a child of
shouldn't have been watching at all. It was appalling, really, when I look back at it. Absolutely appalling.
Like Father Ted, Bottom, Red Dwarf, you know, all this
these
stuff
things.
I'm watching. I'm like,
no wonder you messed up.
No wonder. I can't remember. Yeah, I can't remember sort of thinking, oh gosh, this is a bit naughty. But I do remember that, like, that excitement of like, this is like new Doctor Who.
Yeah. Because I thought, like, when it came out, I thought it was a new episode.
Yeah.
Not that it was a parody spoof kind of thing.
No. Yeah.
So I was, well invested into it. Like,
and that was it then. Every time it was Red Nose Day, I'd always be like, oh, I wonder if they're going to be a Doctor
Who one.
And then it never happened again. And I was like, oh, this is sad. And it's funny now, like, looking back in hindsight, you know, then discovering, oh, Stephen Moffat wrote that.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
wrote what?
Curse of Fatal Death.
Did he?
Yeah.
And that's, and then so many themes from Curse of Fatal Death end up being in his Doctor Who.
Right, okay,
Doctor getting married and all this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And that whole thing about, you know, well, I spoke to the architect.
And
then, I went back in time and bribed the architect. I'm sure that he makes a very similar gag in one of his stories.
I think he does.
Right.
But yeah, it's funny, you know, to think how, I guess, you know, for him that was, he said before, like, for him that was like, well, this is my one chance of writing Doctor Who, so I'll do it with love.
Yeah.
You know, little did we know that he would,
writing
more Doctor Who than any other person ever.
Yeah. Wow.
It's incredible, really.
Is that,
it was funny, though, thinking about sort of at school, because they never banned any BBC websites.
Yeah.
So it meant that you could go on the Doctor Who website. And I remember going on it all the time because they would upload classic clips and all that kind of stuff. And my school had better internet and stuff, so I'd watch it there. But I do remember they used to do these videos called the Doctor Who Years, and it was to music of that era. And they'd have like... They would have like... They would do each episode to music with facts of that era. And I remember watching them religiously. Yeah. And even to this day, I managed to find a copy of it. Oh, yeah. And I still remember in which order the songs are.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? Like those weird little things that they would have on the Doctor Who website. Mm. I can't remember the bloody... The player, what was it called? Real player.
Real player.
Oh
yeah.
God, terrible. It was appalling.
Because I had a Mac as well when I was younger, so it wouldn't work.
Yeah,
like it was just not compatible. Yeah. And I mean, the internet was like absolutely shocking in my house. So I remember it took me ages to watch Scream of the Shulker because it would not load.
Yeah, yes.
We gave up. Like,
we gave up.
Yeah, we just didn't watch it for years.
No.
Just thought, oh, this is impossible.
Yeah.
Because I remember when that was announced and sort of thinking like, oh, well, you know, I like cartoons and Doctor Who work as a cartoon.
Yeah.
So, you know, that might be interesting. Mm. You know, disappointed that it wasn't on TV, that you had to do it
online
and all that sort of stuff. Because, again, for us... That was still in its infancy.
It was.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I don't think we even watched Sharda. I don't think...
No, we didn't.
Even
no, it couldn't. No. That dial-up thing, wasn't it?
Yeah, you used to do that.
And then somebody would phone up and they
amazing. How? Yeah. Wow. When would that have been? When was this, by the way?
Yeah, it was like 2004. No, 2003 was Sharda. 2004 was Screaming of the Shulker.
Was it really?
God.
I think. Or was it? No.
Was it? I'm doubting myself now as well.
I've been 20. Gosh.
Maybe Shulker came out in 2003. Perhaps.
Maybe it was Shulker. Was it Shulker first? I can't remember now.
No, I think Sharda happened first and then Shulker came next.
Next.
That's why it's better.
Yeah,
it's
like,
it actually is animated.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because that's got David Tennant in it. I think.
Shocker,
yeah, he's like a cameo in it or something like that.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's quite funny.
I'm pretty sure.
And Paul Cornell wrote that, didn't he?
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But that was like, that's a weird thing, isn't it? That was a weird time where, you know, Richard E. Grant is officially the Ninth Doctor in this animated thing. And then, like, a fortnight later, you get...
Oh, actually.
Actually, no, Chris Eccleston's the Ninth Doctor.
Yeah.
Ignore that.
Yeah.
That's such a weird little... I don't know what you would call it.
Interlude.
Interlude.
A little footnote in Doctor Who history.
Yeah.
But I mean, his Doctor has got, you know, very strong fans. Because he had that animation and he had a book. There was a novel as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, weird.
Mm.
And now we're here again. We've got two potential 14th Doctors.
Yeah.
You know? History repeating itself. Well, let's have a look and see what people on the internet said about their experiences growing up being Doctor Who fans and see if there's any similarities here. So we've got Snark in Space, October 1988. So this is one for you then, Johnny. I'd been sent to bed early. My parents were watching TV and I could hear some terrifying voices. I crept downstairs and through the banisters watched Remembrance of the Daleks. Been hooked ever since. Mm. What a fantastic story.
That's a great story.
You can imagine it, can't you?
Yeah,
oh, that's great. I like that. Ben Lewis says, my first experience was the pre-titles to The Unquiet Dead. Completely shat me up. I had night terrors for weeks and swore I'd never watch the show again. You remember Unquiet
Dead? So that was Christopher Eccleston, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, early on.
Yes, it was. Yeah. And that was when, I can remember this, that was when our cousin used to come over on a Saturday and that episode was on. And I remember him seeing it and he was, wow, how much younger than me?
A few years, isn't
like
he?
Four years younger?
Yeah, four or five.
And he saw that pre-titles when you...
Yeah.
The zombie face.
Yeah.
And he was freaked out.
Was he?
I remember, he didn't like it.
Oh,
yeah.
Right.
Brilliant.
That's a good story, Unquiet Dead. I do like
that
one.
Yeah.
That's like a very quintessential Doctor Who.
Yes, it is, totally.
Really good. Denver says, I remember my first episode. It was Doomsday. I was obsessed with the fact Rose was lost forever. I just wanted to know more. So I binged Series 1 the next day on DVD, and I went to Toys R Us to get the Doomsday toy set, and I couldn't put it down.
Ah.
A note from Billy, what set was that? Oh, the Doomsday set. So was that's not the Cult of Skaros set. That would have been Rose, potentially, the 10th Doctor, maybe a Dalek, maybe a Cyberman? I can't remember now.
I don't remember that one.
No, maybe it was the Genesis Arc set. Oh, gosh, those good old days when there were toys everywhere.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, that was... I can remember the first time going into Toys R Us and seeing...
Incredible.
...all the Doctor Who's and, like, or into Woolworths. And that just felt so bizarre. Yeah. Because, you know, growing up where Doctor Who was such a niche thing, you'd go to Forbidden Planet.
And you'd find...
Or, like, what some weird sci-fi shop, and they'd have their little bit of stuff.
Yes.
But then for it to be... mainstream...
Everywhere. Yeah. And I can remember a kid picking up a Dalek and being a, kind of annoyed and, you know, preparatorial about it, because I was like, no, you know, that's this is my program.
Little kid, you're getting around to it.
You know what a Dalek is. But it's so weird. And now we've sort of gone back again where Doctor Who isn't around. I mean,
well, Forbidden Planet, when we went there once.
Well, I went there the other
poor,
week.
Poor, wasn't it?
Worse than ever. It's just like a little very sliver of merch. It's a shame that it's gone that way.
I mean, I'm hoping that we'll get sort of a lot more of
the pick up now.
The monsters and stuff and all that kind of thing. Because, yeah, it's like, it was really exciting. I mean, I remember getting my first Sonic when I was younger and stuff. Because I remember, like, this one specifically because... If it's the, oh, it's not the same one, but the one that
that's the pen.
Yeah,
pen is much of the
sword. So then, and you shone it, and you were like, oh, this is so cool. And I remember taking this to school with me as well, like actually like using it as a proper pen. Yeah. And everybody was like, what's that? It's like,
And that's it, isn't it? Like, because we never had that stuff.
No, never.
Up. You know, God, how exciting.
We had a metal Tom Baker one, didn't we?
We did, which was very dangerous.
It was very dangerous, extremely heavy.
Like heavy pewter.
Pewter, and it would have killed you if you smacked it on your head.
Yeah, if a burglar came
that's
in.
It.
And very helpful.
I'm trying to remember if I had it. Apart from the books and the videos, I don't remember anything like... kid related, like toys or stuff. No. I mean, I never collected the Dapples when I was younger, or anything like that.
Yeah, we enjoyed those.
Yeah.
Good fun.
It's funny, isn't it? Like now, all this stuff, you know, we were killed for John Pertwee's Sonic Screwdriver making the proper noises.
I know,
all
incredible.
That
yeah.
It's like, oh, God, I would love to be able to just take this stuff back
in time.
My old kid self.
I know.
I just like all the classic series toys, you know. We thought we'd have like a crinoid figure or a Drashig hand puppet.
I know.
You know, all this fantastic stuff. So weird. Yeah, hopefully we'll get more of that now that Russell's come back. Jack Everett says, my mum, dad, sister and brother all grew up with it. But my first exposure was when UKTV Gold ran a marathon on the weekend Rose aired. I watched half of the Time Meddler and then had to go shopping. When I got home, I just watched it right up until Rose came on at 7 p.m. I was 10.
Wow.
So you had a massive marathon at Doctor Who.
You certainly did. Wow, you bet you went blind, didn't you?
Yeah.
Not that long.
Who else have we got here? Orange Dog says, at the risk of doxing myself, but my dad was a founding member of the Doctor Who Appreciation Society. Thus, growing up, I was surrounded by props and costumes and every single classic episode available on VHS.
Wow.
Props and costumes. I want to know what props and costumes.
So do I.
That's exciting. My God. There's a question. If you could have any Doctor Who prop or costume piece... I know your answer is first of all, his costume, but say you could only have a part of, well, you've got a part of his costume. This is not a very good question, is it? Okay, without being Sylvester McCoy's underpants, what other part of Doctor Who memorabilia, props or costumes, would be the one that would be like, oh, wouldn't it be nice to own that piece?
Oh, William Hartnell's console.
William Hartnell's console.
Lovely.
Where would you put it?
God, I don't know, but it's a fantastic console,
really nice
isn't
to have.
It? It's a lovely console, yeah.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, that you know. I mean, I love Silver's as well, obviously, but I do love the original. Yeah. I think it's fantastic.
Do you know what? I was thinking roughly down the same route, because I've said this before. If I ever won the lottery, what I would do is get Paul McGann's console from the TV movie,
yeah.
but have a staircase built around it so it was in the middle.
Oh, yeah.
And nice. Have it like really fancy. Because nice. Like, yeah. I love that gothic, because it's very homely.
It's like,
it's very homely,
yeah.
like
yeah.
TARDIS. So I'd love that to be incorporated into a house.
That's great.
Do you follow Whoseum on Instagram?
I have seen their work, yes.
Yes, with that. It's
jaw-dropping. Like, yeah,
I've shown you before. Right. He's got the TV movie console, yeah. and then he's got a William Hartnell console.
Oh, yes.
He's got the Tom
yes.
Baker
I
one.
Remember.
All these different TARDIS.
It's incredible.
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
he actually just was on some TV show about collectors.
Wow.
And they went to his place, and they went around.
Wow.
And surprisingly, some of these consoles, he was like, oh, I paid $4,000 for two.
Wow,
it was like
$2,000
each. So that was the Hartnell one and the Tom Baker
wow.
one. I was like, my God, you know, where?
Sign me up.
Yeah,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
It's bonkers. And like he made the TV movie yeah. one. And it's just like, wow, if you had the space and
yeah.
the money.
That's
yeah.
it,
like,
yeah,
oh,
yeah, yeah.
Wouldn't it be fantastic to have
otherwise, if
like
I was
that?
Going a bit smaller, I'd just want a K9.
Oh,
I love
Matt.
A K9.
That's what Matt would
yeah.
like.
I love
yeah.
a K9.
Yeah.
K9 would be great. A proper like remote
yeah,
control,
yeah, yeah,
all the bells
yeah.
and whistles,
all
yeah,
of it, yeah, 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 disco lights, yeah,
yes.
yeah,
John Leeson in the back doing yeah.
crawling
on
the floor,
fours, yeah,
yeah. yeah, I don't know what if there was just one particular thing. I mean, a TARDIS would be nice, like one of the actual
yeah.
used TARDIS,
oh yeah, yeah, yeah,
or even just a bit of it, like the door panel or something, just to be able to say, oh, that was
yeah.
the one, you know, that is part of a proper TARDIS, would be quite nice. Or a sonic screwdriver, like John Pertwee's sonic screwdriver, or Tom's, and just to be
yeah,
able to say,
yeah,
oh,
yeah.
you know, they've all, so many of them have held this prop.
I'm gonna take it back then. So for John Pertwee, I want his Planet of the Daleks jacket, because I know Mark Gatiss has
got
it
yeah.
as well, and
yeah.
it's that photo of him and Peter Capaldi
yes.
wearing it. It's
yeah.
just such pure joy.
Yeah.
And I'm
yeah.
like,
oh, yeah, he's grinning, isn't he?
Yeah.
And you can
yeah.
see Mark Gatiss in the reflection.
Yeah,
and they're
like...
all just smiling.
yeah.
and it's just
oh,
like,
it's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it's great. And they put it in the console room, didn't they? For
they
his
did,
last scene,
yeah.
he's like on,
yeah.
the, on the hat stand, which is a nice
beautiful.
Little... I think he strokes it, doesn't he, as he walks past?
Yeah. I think
who
it's...
does? Peter?
Yeah.
yeah.
Oh, does
so,
he?
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, brilliant. what else? Who else have we got here? Layla says, Voyage of the Damned. My mum loved Tom Baker when she was younger. We all sat and watched it. Loved it so much. I had a pet chicken named Banna Cephalata. Remember Banna Cephalata?
Yeah.
Who else have we got here? Oh, God. I should put my glasses on, really. Omen Darkly. I started watching BBC's Merlin in 2014.
Ah.
I was obsessed with the show. I started following fan accounts on Instagram, and all of them also posted Doctor Who content. I never heard of it, but was curious and decided to watch it. I fell in love completely. You said, for Merlin, was that another thing that you used to watch?
No, do you know what? I'm really bad. I never watched it.
No.
But it reminded me, because it's like people getting into Sherlock also got into Doctor Who
yeah.
and everything.
Yeah.
But it makes sense with Merlin, though, because
yeah.
it's that kind of... I don't know, there were a lot of series, wasn't there, like that,
yeah.
when Doctor Who took off.
Yeah, there was a Robin Hood as well, wasn't
Robin
there?
Robin Hood, oh
yeah.
yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's nice that, you know, again, it's like the fandoms just intertwine,
yeah.
don't they, and people fall in love. And
yeah.
it's the same with this, you know, Heartstoppers and Sex Education, everybody's
yeah.
going to go, oh, I'm going to have a look at
yeah.
Doctor Who
yeah.
now, and
yeah.
vice versa.
Yeah,
and,
yeah it's good,
yeah.
It's clever casting, because I think, you know, looking at some of the guests, like, I mean... If we look back at Series 11, one of the big things that they did at the end of Woman Who Fell to Earth was, rather than have a, here's what's coming up this series, it's like, here's all the guest stars we've got.
Mm.
And it was like, well, I know who all these people are, but kids aren't going to know.
No.
That's
kids
it.
Aren't going to
yeah,
know who
yeah.
they are.
No.
And kids aren't going to
care,
be
are they?
No,
they're
care
not
going
to
give.
No.
But, yeah, with this... You know, at least they're targeting a very particular audience, you know, a very vocal audience online. You know, it would be like if they cast... Well, Merlin was in Doctor Who, wasn't he?
Yeah,
well, he was.
Yeah,
he was McCoy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Battlefield.
Hilarious. Well done.
Had to get it in there somewhere.
Yeah, well done.
And I mean, John Hurt was the dragon.
John Hurt was
as
the dragon.
Well, so,
yeah, yeah.
you know, it's all...
So it's all connected. And,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
that was, like, the Tumblr era, wasn't it? Where everyone was on Tumblr,
Super
Who
Lock.
Ooh,
yeah.
I have no idea what you're talking about, but never mind, that's fine.
Yeah, because you're old.
Because I'm old, yeah. So just carry on, you youngsters. You youngsters chat and I'll just sit here like an old man.
No, you're living the best life.
Yeah, you're better off not knowing. Adam Lloyd says, when I was six, I used to spend weekends at my grandparents' house, which had 70s Doctor Who books, toys and magazines, all belonging to my mum. I then caught the Pumagan TV movie and was hooked. My mum then bought me the VHS episodes. The first one was Death to the Daleks.
Yay! Well done.
Paul Gifford says, Destiny of the Daleks is the first story I remember. I was hooked from the start and I was four. Moved to South Africa in 1981 and was robbed of Doctor Who until I came home at the end of 84. Attack of the Cybermen in early 85 filled me with joy. I'm not sure I've experienced since.
Oh, that's nice. Sweet.
Loz the Valiard says, my dad dug out his old clockwork Dalek to keep me amused when I was pretty small. Sometime later, I recognised the Daleks in a Radio Times listing for the first Cushing film. So that was put on, and that was it. Hooked. The second film, and then the recent 30th anniversary Dalek tin would have been next. So that was Remembrance of the Daleks.
Yeah, I remember that.
So really, if we were to split hairs, I'm sort of a Dalek fan first, really. That's interesting, isn't it, actually? Yeah. Like some... I've seen that with like some people are like, oh, I like Daleks, but I'm not really into Doctor Who. Or they'll like Peter Cushing films, but not like Doctor Who generally.
I remember, though, because I had Frontier in Space.
Yeah.
Obviously, double VHS that was as well. And I got it because it had a Dalek on the front, not knowing that they only rock up in the last 5 minutes.
Yes.
To watch the entire thing, and I'm there like, you know, 5-year-old.
Did you like that though? Because with the Ogrons, did you find that, you know?
Yeah, do you know what? Like, I mean, I thought it was a bit boring that they kept getting locked up all the
time. Yeah, there's a lot of that in it, isn't there? Yeah.
But, like, you know, the action scenes when the Draconians and
that's quite good, aren't they?
I thought it was great. Yeah. And then when they get to the quarry bit and the whole thing with the Master, I thought that was brilliant. And then, you know,
when you see the Dalek on the cliff. That was great.
It's a good shot, that, isn't it?
It's a great bit,
Oh, they're good monsters, the Ogrons and the Draconians.
They are good.
Bring them back, come on.
Bring the Draconian back.
Draconians would be great. Oh, I mean, they look fantastic back then.
They do, honestly.
They don't need much tweaking, would they, really?
No, not at all.
Fantastic. Right, who else have we got here? We've got Bunny Galore says, started with Robot, Tom was and still is my hero. Yeah. I've now realised I must have seen the repeat of Planet of the Spiders a few days before Robot started.
Nice.
Okay. Wow. Yeah. Really went into it with the regeneration. With Tom.
Impressive.
That's really nice.
That is good.
Jimmy James Inc. says, my neighbour growing up could only watch PBS. So this is in America.
Yeah.
He couldn't come over and play one day because something called The Five Doctors was being broadcast. He couldn't miss it. I joined and watched with him. That was 1983. I was 10. Hooked ever since. So like you, Five Doctors. And that was enough. I mean, that is a good... That is a good all-round story.
But well, we considered showing the kids that, didn't we?
My oldest, he's like, he keeps saying, oh, maybe the Five Doctors would be a good one for him because, you know, you've got your Daleks, Cybermen, the
Raston Warrior Robots,
Yeti, sort of.
I remember because I met Terrence Dix and at a convention. I was so happy because I got to tell him, I was like, you are the reason I became a Who fan because yours is the first episode I watched. And
he was fantastic. Loved it.
I would have loved to have met him.
He's a really lovely man.
He was brilliant.
Yeah, whenever you see him in... Whenever he turns up in like a behind the scenes and like being interviewed, you're like, oh, you know he's going to come out with some great
story.
Or something.
Little gem.
We all remember Dick and the Curtain.
When I said, you know, that was the story that got me into Doctor Who, he went, quite right too. And I was just
like,
He
was of the old guard, but he was so good.
Yeah,
so
brilliant.
Good old Terrence Wham, all of them.
Who
else have we got here? Craig... Lighthowler says, Marvel did a comic called Bumper with various reprinted comic strips from across his titles. In summer 88, I came across a comic strip with Death's Head, who was in the Transformers comic at the time. He bumped into the Doctor. I was intrigued. I caught one or two moments from season 25. Ace chased by a Cyberman was one that I saw. Who is this girl? An 11-year-old me asked myself in a self-conscious, awkward, pre-adolescent way. Toys. Anything cool had action figures, and there were Dapo in our local Asda. In Asda.
Wow.
My God.
Imagine going to Asda back in the 80s.
That is insanity. What? In an ordinary store, Daypool figures. In
So imagine that, going to Asda Bedminster.
Seeing the ace on their rucksack and baseball bat.
Get me shopping in a Cyberman. Yeah.
My God, what?
I had no idea that you could buy them.
No.
Picked up Doctor Who magazine 135 with the very same Crossroads of Time strip that got me hooked in the first place. So I got there the long way around. Andre says, Doctor Who does not have a prominent presence in Belgium, but I managed to pick up a few crumbs over the years to pique my interest. Even looking where to begin was a daunting task, until an American friend told me to start with 9. I asked for the DVD for my birthday. I had basically no clue what the show was about, apart from the fact there were a lot of different blokes, all very confusing for younger me, that it was a big BBC series. I faintly remember seeing a picture of David Tennant in a TV guide in my English textbook. I quickly fell in love with Doctor Who and bought the next 2 series on DVD just to be sure I wouldn't run out of episodes too soon.
What's 9, sorry?
Chris Ruckerson.
Oh, his season.
Yeah.
Oh, no,
Doctor.
Sorry, I got confused. Yeah. Okay,
you got to think
right.
Some of these were posted on Twitter and stuff. So you know, trying to truncate the...
The text.
Yeah, fine. Stephen says, being in Canada, growing up in the early 2000s, there wasn't much opportunity to see anything related to Doctor Who. My first introduction was the scene in Looney Tunes Back in Action with the Daleks and the Mr. Bean Christmas episode where he plays with the Dapple Dalek.
Oh, yes, he does.
I didn't really think much of the show until I finished high school in 2018, at which time I had been really into Peter Cushing's films. I saw the Dalek films and decided to binge the show in order after enjoying them so much. I'm only just finishing the Matt Smith stuff now. So that's interesting.
Oh,
so
nice.
Really interesting.
Cushing comes up a lot,
doesn't he?
And he those stories,
Yeah.
I guess he was just more accessible, especially like back in the 90s and stuff. Well, even into the early noughties, he was always on, wasn't he?
He was, yeah.
They were always playing those films.
Yeah.
I think I remember kids at school knowing the Daleks because
that.
Of those films more so than, you know, watching anything on UK Gold like us loonies. Ash says, I became a fan during the wilderness years and was desperate to find a male role model. Was one, a nerdy scientist, two, largely a pacifist, and three, gave a shit about social justice. So rare during the 90s. The renaissance of who during that time, novels and VHS, was a blessing. And then last one, we've got Greg Coleman, who says, in the mid-80s, I was 12 and getting used to my parents' divorce, and my dad and stepmum were out. I was flipping channels while lying on their waterbed, it was the 80s, and stumbled on Terror of the Zygons. I loved Sarah, I was intrigued by Tom, and was hooked.
Oh, yeah.
Brilliant.
That's a good story.
It's a fantastic
That's
story.
That's one that terrified me when I was younger as well, especially the bit when the cliffhanger and Sarah screams and goes towards
really
her.
Really
like,
quite funny. Because Annie was saying, oh, maybe show the boys Terror of the Zygons. I was like, I think that might be too scary.
It's quite, I'd say that one, I'd be like, oh, I don't know for younger kids kind
sure.
of thing.
Yeah,
but
might be,
it is good
it's a great story,
get
though.
Terrified though, isn't it, as a kid? You do actually secretly like it.
You don't know his children though.
Yeah. That's the recipe for disaster, believe me.
No, I can't even wear an Alton head without frightening
them. Oh, no.
No, Tears. He said, someone's mentioned.
Yeah. And we've got the Cyberman hopefully turning up next week.
So that'll give
them so excited for this.
So, you'll be coming over, look at the Cyberman. Well, I think that's probably about it, really. Unless there's any other aspects of Doctor Who growing up.
I think we've covered it quite well.
I was going to say,
We've probably covered all bases. But if there's anything that we haven't mentioned that you guys at home can think of that you're like, oh, actually, when I was a kid, this happened. Leave a comment in the YouTube comments if you're listening on YouTube. And if you're on Spotify, go to YouTube and leave a comment there anyway. otherwise, I think that's it. Thank you both for joining me.
Pleasure.
Talking about Doctor Who. It's always a pleasure. We'll just keep our eyes out now for more news and information about upcoming Doctor Who stuff. What does it all mean? Why is David Tennant Doctor Who again? Shooty Gatwa is also the Doctor. What does it all mean? I don't know, but I'm sure we'll find out. And of course, don't forget, Jodie Whittaker has still got an episode.
Yes! Yes, oh, bless her.
Don't forget her, please!
Otherwise, we'll all be very confused by the time David Tennant comes back.
We will.
Thank you ever so much, you guys. That was
pleasure.
Lovely. And
sorry you had to see me again, because I wasn't supposed to be here, obviously.
You weren't supposed to be
here. It
should
have been Billy, but of course, you know.
Well, that's his own fault.
Yeah, you got me again. Anyway.
But I mean, all this stuff, all this new information has been coming out while Billy's in New Zealand.
Yeah. I know.
I think he probably needs to just stay there, and then it just keeps coming.
Tidbits
exactly.
keep coming through. Yeah.
Well, there we go. Well, thank you all for watching and listening. If you enjoyed it, leave a like, a comment, and all that sort of stuff on YouTube. And I'll see you next time, probably with Billy, but you can never tell. He might get caught in a time scoop or
possibly.
A time eddy or something, and he might not turn up. So we'll see. But I'll see you all in a fortnight's time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.